Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And we are joined, like we are every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, by our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I heard Joe braved the fog. I heard he braved the fog to get into studio today. So tough.
He's overcoming the weather one day at a time. Charles.
Whatever, Texas guy.
Oh, man. How you guys doing this morning?
We're awesome, yeah. Man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So Brian Callahan's the guy, Charles, here from with the Titans, hired from Cincinnati as their OC. What did you make of that hire and the way things played out for the Titans?
Well, it was interesting because, you know, it came on right before they hired him. I was talking to somebody in Carolina, and we were sort of going over where that search was. And basically, it was like, not going well. You know, Panther search is a little rough right now. And it sounded like they had gotten to the point where it's like, well, geez, you know, maybe it's going to be Todd Monken. Like it was like, all right, they're going to, you know, whiff on several candidates. Maybe it's going to end up being Todd Monken, who obviously the OC of the Baltimore Ravens, or Frank Smith, the OC of the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, Callahan's name came up, and it was interesting. He said to me, he said, you know, this guy has a premium attached to him beyond how much, you know, the Bengals really think of him. It's this attachment of Bill Callahan, obviously his father, who's the offensive line assistant at the Cleveland Browns. And I hadn't really thought about it, but I went back to my notes in training camp, and there was a general manager who I was sitting with one day, and we were just kind of talking about the difficulty of dealing with offensive line development in the NFL. And he told me, he said, look, man, the two most important assistant coaches who are not coordinators in the NFL right now, he said, the two most important assistant coaches in the NFL right now are Jeff Stoutland and Bill Callahan. And he said, because you have two guys who can get their hands on offensive linemen who are coming out of college right now, who are very difficult to develop, who are very difficult to scout, and can turn these guys into an assembly line of real offensive line talent. You can take, you know, they can take the second layer of the depth chart from the offensive line position, and they can develop into real players who can then succeed if you lose. You know, somebody goes down to an injury or free agency or whatever it is, you have an in-house ability to basically turn college players are underdeveloped linemen into an assembly line of real offensive line talent. That is a big deal in the NFL right now. And I had completely forgotten. I remembered Stoutland, you know, especially the Stoutland portion of it. And Callahan's been around forever. So I think, like, off the top of my mind, I'm like, okay, the zone, like, I've been talking about this guy forever. He's been in the league forever. So I think it just kind of skipped off the top of my head. But I had never really thought about the potential premium of him joining Brian, you know, wherever he went. And, you know, Joe and I texted about this a little bit. It reminded me a little bit of when I would talk to people inside the Bengals about him. Reminded me a little bit of Matt LaFleur. When LaFleur left the Titans, there was this sort of, you know, there were different opinions about him in the building. It was like, well, you know, Zach Taylor's a play caller. Like, you know, what does he really do? You know, and there are other people like, no, he's the special sauce guy. Like he connects with these players. You know, he definitely injects himself into a lot of what the design is. There are huge proponents of him. And it was a little bit like LaFleur. When LaFleur left, I had people who were like, I don't see it. I don't know how this guy's going to make it as a head coach in the NFL. It makes no sense. And other people were like, no, he's bright. He's a connector. He knows the Shanahan offense. And he's really going to make it the next stop. So I'm curious to see how this goes. I'm really curious to see ultimately what Bill Callahan ends up doing, because that's a highly paid man in Cleveland. I mean, if he's making about $3 million a year, but he's compensated for a reason. It's because there's very, very few in the NFL who can do what he can do from an offensive line standpoint.
Okay, well, I want to stick with Callahan because, first of all, I find it outrageous to think that the Cleveland Browns would not let him out of his contract or whatever, however it works,
yeah,
to go. Look, first of all, not just it's a father-son thing. He's going to be a kept man at 67. He doesn't have to work anymore.
Let's wait and see, because I will tell you this. Andrew Berry, the general manager there, Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, don't strike me as the keep guys hostage types. Like, if he wants to go and he says, hey, you know, this is really something that's really important to me, you know, want to go and, you know, as you said, at a point in my career now, been around a long time. It's a dream to spend this time, obviously, with family. I mean, look, Vic Fangio, part of the reason why I think the Dolphins freed him up was that he wanted to go, you know, I think now hasn't happened yet, but, you know, he was interested in getting back to the Philadelphia area, being around family, spent time as an advisor with the Eagles before he ended up as the DC in Miami. And I think Mike McDaniel was like, look, I'm not going to stand in your way. Like, you know, if this is something you want to do, now let's see what else ultimately happens with Vic and the Eagles. But I don't know that they're – let's wait and see. I'd be surprised, I guess, if – you know, Andrew and Kevin Stefanski were like, no way, you know, we're not going to let you go. Let's see ultimately how it develops. But like I said, if it were to go that route, I'm telling you, it's these guys who can take an offensive line, make your starters better, but then also develop younger players. I mean, they're rarer than hen's teeth in the NFL right now. And as this GM said to me, he was talking more about Philly and Stoutland, but you know, again, he extended it to Callahan. He was like, look, it is such an immense advantage to have someone on your staff who can do that for you now. There's just you can't find enough of those guys to do that. And it just gives an overwhelming edge. And I cannot think of a team in the NFL who could use that more right now than the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, they'd have to pay whatever it is. I mean, there's no excuse to not pay it, right? No excuse.
Yeah, I agree, but there's not a lot of – I mean, that's expensive. That's a very, very – now,
billionaires.
I don't know if there'd be –
billionaires, Charles.
I understand that. I mean, it comes down to – your general manager and the owner. And I know it's to us, we're like, billionaires, $3 million a season, that's nothing. But I mean, I will tell you this, if Stoutland were someone who were on the market tomorrow, $5-6 million a year, you know, there would be, I think, a handful of teams who would go, yep, absolutely. We'll pay him, you know, we'll pay him like a coordinator basically to come in and be our offensive line coach right now because of how immense his impact would be. I don't think, to me, it's no question, but I'm also the guy who says if you have a great kicker, pay him $7-10 million a year because they win games. But I think I'm in the minority.
Well, kickers turned out to be pretty important last weekend, Charles, as we saw in those games.
Yeah. You think? yeah. So I think if they hadn't moved on Callahan, I think David Tepper would have gone very hard in the paint for him in Carolina to try and add him. He fits the culture of what Tennessee is trying to do in terms of, you know, the idea of like making decisions jointly, the increased footing that Rand Carthon has in the organization now. He fits very, very much in that culture. It's funny because he's, you know, when you talk to people in Cincinnati, he's not, I don't want to say power hungry, but he's not someone who's like, you know, they don't perceive him as going as a guy who's going to go in and be like, hey, I got to be, you know, every decision we got to, you know, I'm going to make the final say, or I got to be involved in everything, or, you know, everybody needs to listen to me. Like he's definitely more of the come to a consensus type of guy, which, okay. I mean, right fits, and it's in a little bit in a way, I don't want to say opposite of Vrabel, but certainly more open to the culture that I think ownership wants to build in Tennessee. So that makes a lot of sense to me. It's from the standpoint of how in demand he would have been, I think, had they waited it made sense to me that they moved on him pretty quickly, particularly with like Atlanta dragging along. Like, where is that going? Like, I thought by now Belichick would have been locked down. You know, Carolina, I think, again, struggling a little bit in that search, although I think Dan Morgan being named the GM there helps them out. And so I think for Tennessee, it was, all right, we're going to screw around here, or if we feel like we have somebody who fits the culture, fits the GM, and could have the upside of adding another assistant down the line who could dramatically impact our offense and our offensive line, why are we going to wait around on this? Let's do it.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports. Charles, Jim Harbaugh officially hired by the L.A. Chargers. What do you make of that move of Harbaugh finally making his return to the NFL?
Well, first off, I'm glad we're going to talk about this because I caught the tail end of Joe – citing Jim Comperoni, someone who he and I know really well, very well, talking about the scourge of Jim Harbaugh, the college football. I'll drop you guys a little nugget here, and you can go ahead and do a whole show on this someday. Very prominent college program, extremely prominent college program that was very silent on Harbaugh. Very silent on Connor Stallions. Very silent on this idea of, you know, advanced scouting of opponents. And I, you know, poke around, ask some people in the NFL, know people associated with this program. Like, how come they're not saying anything? You know, kind of this, you know, you always go to the big heads, right, in college, and you say, what do you think of this? How come they're not saying anything? Very solid number of people in the NFL said, well, they break down the all-22 at halftime of their games in order to get a scouting edge in college football games. Highly illegal. But you know what? It happens. And no, but let me tell you something about Jim Harbaugh. And I went to Michigan State like Joe, right? Like, I have my own set of feelings about Michigan football. I don't think I have the pure hatred that a lot of my other fellow alums have. But, you know, I have my own set of thoughts. That said, everybody's got to get over it, okay? College football is no different than the NFL, where everybody is looking for every single edge they can. They do all kinds of nefarious stuff, most of which is far worse than sending somebody with a cell phone to record plays or signals or whatever else in college football. And the primary reason why most of these big-time coaches are pissed off about NIL and the transfer portal is because it removed the one significant advantage they had forever, which was a network of alumni who had already created NIL on their own under the table. Okay? Like, so let's just go ahead and lay off Jim Harbaugh when it comes to that stuff and whatever comes out, because I can tell you right now, after spending years and years looking at college football programs, it's a whole big dirt pile, and everybody's got crap on them, and it's just how it is. And so this idea
except Vandy.
Let's untouch Vandy. I just wanted to make sure I point that out. And you guys go ahead and figure out what is the big-time college program that was utilizing the all-22 halftime of games.
I love it.
Look, Harbs, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Chargers. So I was in the airport yesterday after this all came down. I was flying back to Houston, and immediately I get off the plane, and I'm hitting guys up, and they're like, you know, what do you think of this? Like, people close to Harbs. And, you know, like, I talked to two guys really close to him, and one said, you know, perfect fit. You know, it's a very coach favorable situation, not so much GM favorable. Great coach job though in with the Chargers because of the roster and the quarterback and all these things. And the other one said, let's see. Like, let's wait and see. And I was like, wow, okay, so you know, what do you think? Like, you're not sure that Jim can come in and do a great job there? And he said, well, I want to see what happens. Let's see the staffy names. And he said, you know, I think he's been a fantastic college coach, fit perfectly at Michigan over the expanse of his career, where he ultimately went with it, how he developed the offense there with Sharon Moore. you know, he said, but I want to see what, how does he reinvent himself on the NFL level? Because when he departed the 49ers, the complexity of NFL defenses was not on the level that it is now. Like, NFL defenses are so much more complex than they were even 10 years ago. Like, it's insane the number of things that, you know, defenses are doing now. And I think it led to the red zone problems that a lot of NFL teams had, and compressed space and the dip in scoring and all these different things. When you talk to people across the league, they're like, hey, defenses is a hell of a lot better now. The play calling's a heck of a lot better. And it's just harder to deal with these. And the offense has now got to catch up in a multitude of different areas. So when, you know, Jim comes back, I almost wonder, you know, he had some forward thinking things that he did, obviously with the 49ers before he left, you know, the Colin Kaepernick stuff, the gun offense. I mean, there was some different things that he did that I think were a little bit ahead of the curve. But then he goes back to college, and what does he do? He streamlines it back into a power running game, and basically says, okay, well, college football is going this direction. They're spreading it out. Lighter defense is faster. We're just going to beat the living crap out of teams and force them to stop us. And that's what's going to be the spine of our offense. Kind of taking it back to, I mean, look, it's like a Schembechler offense in some ways. And then, you know, Sharon Moore, I think they opened it up a little bit when they got a competent quarterback in there with J.J. McCarthy. Well, let's see on the NFL level, because I think there's just sort of a curiosity. What's his staff going to look like? How is he going to call games? And what does he ultimately want to do offensively, you know, on this level with the Chargers? I just think, you know, I think there are even people close to him who are like, let's see. This is wild. He's back. Can't do it the way he did it before. Going to have to rebuild himself in some levels on the NFL, you know, plateau, and let's see ultimately where he goes with it. So I don't think it's just an automatic that he's going to walk in and have the level of success. I will say this. I expect it to be a young general manager hire there, which is indicative that, you know, the Spanos family, what they want is a CEO head coach. He's going to come in. He's going to run the whole entire operation. He's going to be the guy. The buck's going to stop at Jim, and I think the general manager hire will reflect that.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. You mentioned Belichick, so we're trying to figure that out. But I also want to ask you about Mike Vrabel, Charles. His situation, yeah. I know it's Falcons, Panthers has already interviewed previously with the Chargers, of course. Let me ask you this, because this comes from fans of the Titans in particular who don't like Vrabel, who are ready to just dance on the idea that he doesn't get a job. You were one of the people, a lot of the people in the NFL said, the minute Mike Vrabel, he would have any pick of his jobs. Was that overstated a bit?
I don't think it was overstated. I think that when you look at, okay, so let's talk about a couple of these jobs. Atlanta, Arthur Blank was the worst kept secret in the NFL that his two candidates were Harbaugh and Belichick, that these were the two guys he absolutely wanted. And I still believe Belichick is the coach that he wants. And I think the reason that Belichick is not the coach with the Atlanta Falcons right now is because of Bill Belichick. And it makes me wonder if Bill is waiting for something. Like I can't get it out of my mind. I'm like, what is Bill doing? Like, is he waiting? Like, is there something out there? Does he think there's a chance that a job comes unexpectedly open after the Senior Bowl? Is he waiting for the Bills? Like, what is he doing? Why is he? I 100% believe that he's dragging his feet with the Falcons, and that's why the Falcons now are like, okay, we better do our due diligence with other, you know, candidates, because it's not a guarantee that we land Bill. As much as we say we've completed our interviews with Bill, it's the truth is Bill keeps interviewing us. And that's, you know, really where this stands. So I think that's one thing with the Falcons. I think the Chargers were 100% on Harbaugh all the way. I think from the start, that was another one where we're just like, okay, like they're Don Yee's talking to the Chargers nonstop. It's not just trying to pry more money out of Michigan, although maybe this idea of protections and he'll go back if they, you know, they get a show cause, they won't fire him. They'll protect his money. They'll ride out the storm with him. Maybe, you know, that was real with Michigan, but there was no doubt in my mind that Chargers were all 100% on board. Once we get past that, what's the great job, Joe? You know, Robbie, like, what's the great, okay, Washington, right? That's potentially. I think Washington's a great. Yeah, absolutely. Washington's a great job, but what have we all heard from the start with Washington? Ben Johnson. From the start, Ben Johnson. They want Ben Johnson. That's their guy. They are going to wait until everything's over, and they're going to take their big shot at Ben Johnson. And if that ultimately doesn't work out, then they will start to consider other legitimate candidates. But that they want to draft a quarterback at two. They want to bring in Ben Johnson. They want to start out a studs rebuild with him and align him with the quarterback. Okay, so that to me is the one other job that's really – so if you're Mike Vrabel, I'll ask you, if the Falcons are chasing after Belichick this hard and he's jerking them around at this stage and the Washington's all in on Ben Johnson, what job would you want if you're Mike Vrabel? You tell me, would you rather go, let me sit out a cycle – and see what happens. Let's see what, develops next year. What you tell me what other job is out there where you're like, yeah, Mike should chase that job and really want it a lot.
Well,
it sure as hell ain't the Panthers.
Yeah, well, he's interviewing, but yeah, I mean, I'd be very, there's a lot of reasons to be hesitant in the Panthers. I still think Bryce Young could be good, but obviously we'll see. But they have so many issues starting at the top. And the Seahawks, I think, could be a decent job. So I don't know.
Okay,
is that a Dan Quinn job?
There you go. I mean, the Seahawks, that is the one that – I had someone say, like, don't discount, as this wears on, Mike potentially ending up with the Seahawks. Now, the two complications there are you mentioned one, Dan Quinn, like a lot of people in the organization still have a lot of love for Dan, including John Schneider, makes a lot of sense in terms of the fit, the comfortability. Schneider knows he can work with Dan Quinn and Dan Quinn interviews well. I mean, he's been a second place finisher in other jobs. And, I think there is an element there of Dan Quinn. And then number two, I think the complication is it's Schneider. Jody Allen, who's the chair of the Seahawks now, Paul Allen's sister, who basically took over the team when he passed, has looked at John and said, John, it's your organization now. So when Pete Carroll departed, which was under duress, it was because she wanted to turn it over to John and say, you are the supreme leader now of the Seahawks and you're running everything. You're going to hire the coach. You're going to have the power now. The power is in the hands of the general manager. We're going to have a very linear organization, which is going to be me to the general manager, to the head coach. Is that what Mike wants? And if, beyond that, does John want to go, okay, I have Dan, who I'm very interested in, who I have a past with and a level of comfort with. Or do I want to go with Mike, who is, not quite the same level of knowing him. Mike wants, again, and we've talked about this before, Mike wants to be able to have a hand in an expansive area of a franchise. I don't think he wants to walk in and go, okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and, be the coach here and I'll be told who my players are going to be. And, I'm not going to be able to weigh in on things that I want to weigh in on. That was part of the problem, I think, ultimately in Tennessee. So is he going to get out of Tennessee and then go somewhere else where he doesn't have ultimately what he's searching for? Or would you rather, sit out a cycle, see where things go? The only thing with Carolina, I think Dan Morgan getting the job in Carolina is their best plus for potentially being able to land Mike Vrabel, because Dan Morgan has been through, when you look at his career, like he was in Buffalo when they built Buffalo into what they are. He was in Seattle for a long time when Seattle really built that organization into what it was. And I think Mike and Dan are very similar individuals. Like if you've ever spent time with Dan Morgan, you'd be like, yeah, I could see how Mike and Dan would work really well together. That's probably the best thing that the Carolina Panthers have going for them. I don't know that John Schneider and Mike Vrabel are really similar guys. I don't, just from, spending time with John here and there over the last, 15 years. So in a weird way, Carolina and Dan Morgan almost align better, although I think the ownership to me is still the – I don't know why you'd want to go. I'm not the only one. I think a lot of people are like, I don't know why you'd want to go there and work for that owner. But, who you work with means a lot, and I think it's a better fit, oddly enough, minus the owner, with the general manager in Carolina than it would be in Seattle. I still think – I would not be surprised if Vrabel ends up sitting out this cycle and seeing what pops up next year.
Well, Charles, really good stuff as always, man. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Tell Joe to stop bringing up Jim Comperoni on broadcast, man. We,
at least we got through a show without you ripping Mitch Albom. I mean, you know, that's a win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you want to go into the next segment?
No.
We can go
ahead and do that. Yeah, let's not do that.
Man. All right, thank you, Charles.
See you, man.
Appreciate it. Charles Robinson, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. With a lot to get to there from what Charles had to say. We'll react to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls. Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Make sure you check out 94.9 The Fan on Sunday for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Commodores on the road taking on South Carolina. Tip off at 2 o'clock, pregame beginning at 1:45. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and 94.9thefan.com. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us. What did you make of what Charles had to say about Vrabel there, Joe, and the ongoing search for a job? By the way, Vrabel completed another interview with Atlanta yesterday and apparently is interviewing with Carolina in person today.
Yeah, look, I think I mostly agree with what Charles said there, right? Vrabel, it's not like you have to take any job that's offered to you. This was a loaded coaching cycle. Very interesting stuff on Atlanta. Yeah, there's different stuff coming out of Atlanta that's more like maybe the Falcons aren't sure, but I think what Charles said makes a lot of sense in terms of. And there's been a lot of talk about Rich McKay, just the power structure, all that stuff with Belichick. But it's a loaded coaching cycle, and I've never thought Vrabel was just going to take any head coaching job. Again, Mike Vrabel has done more than enough to try to get a job, which is often in the contract language in these situations where he has this money that he is going to get paid, and it's going to be a lot of money by Amy Adams Strong if he doesn't work this fall. So the sitting out a year, waiting to see what happens next cycle. I mean, I've always thought that was possible for sure. I very much thought it was possible from the very start of this. But if he doesn't get a job, then the especially the Vrabel haters are definitely going to dance on that for sure. It's just, I think it's a little bit overstated. But I also think it has been by some people a little bit overstated about Mike Vrabel as Vince Lombardi. You know, Mike Vrabel's a good coach. There is no doubt. But, I mean, no doubt in my mind anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, like someone said on the text line, two bad seasons, bad offenses. You know, you look at the whole thing that happened with Amy Adams Strunk, and you can take one side or the other, but the bottom line is it did happen. Is Vrabel completely free of blame? Vrabel can be prickly. Vrabel can be difficult. So all those things are factors too. I do wonder if Carolina can actually make a case for him to consider that job. It's going to be very interesting. Now, the other thing that Charles said that I thought was really interesting is all the Bill Callahan stuff.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if all of it, the Browns not letting him go, ridiculous to me. The Titans not paying him, whatever it is, also would be ridiculous, especially if he's that high. And he is. I mean, he's been one of the best offensive line coaches in the sport of football for going on 40 years.
Yeah, I mean it's been consistent, demonstrated success with him coaching the offensive line. It's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. I mean, look, I would assume, I don't think that, you know, he's come out and said this, and my guess is he probably won't today at the press conference, but we'll see, that Brian Callahan wants his father to be with him on the staff and coach on the offensive line. So if that's the case, I mean, it's going to be an interesting theory. I mean, you know, PK yesterday, Joe brought up, like, the old school guys think it's a formality that'll happen, and maybe some of the newer school coaches think, I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty good asset that the Browns have there. I mean, I'm with you from the standpoint of, I mean, Bill Callahan at his age, I don't really anticipate him being held hostage by anybody at, you know, any organization that way. But, you know, if Cleveland just absolutely won't give him up, I do wonder what that means for Bill Callahan and what his response to that would be.
I know what mine would be. It would be double middles. You know, okay, I'm going to go enjoy my lazy boy. But, you know, yeah, we'll see how that works out. Another interesting point to bring up on all that, you know, you mentioned Jeff Stoutland. And as I've said, I covered him a long time. He's an amazing coach. And, boy, what an interview that guy is. But Jeff Stoutland, Charles talking $5-6 million and what he does. Let's also keep in mind this is actually another great example of the limitations at work here too, right? Because Jeff Stoutland had Andre Dillard for multiple years. He didn't, you know, he didn't start him. He lost his starting job. He's a first round pick. He came here. He was bad. So like, there's still limitations. Like, you can be the greatest position coach in the history of, like, whoever the greatest, you know, receivers coach in the history of football, I will go out there right now and I will suck at receiver. I don't care what you do to coach me up, okay? So, I mean, there's still limitations. That's a failed project that was supposed to be, you know, ready, plug-and-play first-round pick. That still happens. So the idea, like, that applies. Bill Callahan comes here. He's the offensive line coach. You don't just assume that every single offensive lineman who rolls through is going to become a great player. You know, it's just a good reminder of the limitations at hand.
Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal scorer for the Preds tonight, you want a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that coming up next. Give our final thoughts on Brian Callahan as he prepares for his introductory press conference today with the Titans as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at a score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Minnesota Wild on the road. No change to the standings in Preds Pick to Click. Rex Road still in first place with 12 correct answers. The listeners in second place with 11. Nick Kieser with 7. And I remain with a lowly 3 in the competition. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kevin. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm going to have to go with Philip Forsberg.
Going with Forsberg. Kevin, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
John, I don't know that we've had anybody this year. We probably have. I could go back and look. When I've been first, not take Philip Forsberg. With that in mind, I'm going to go Ryan O'Reilly. So Forsberg, O'Reilly off the board. Rex Road, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
All right. Well, I'll just stick with that line. This is the line that people should be revolving around. So give me Gus Nyquist.
Nick Keyes of the top line off the board. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, they are. But I have to make a small note to our callers. So if you want to keep doing this, you can if you want to. Other people can just win a lot more often. The last 5 callers now have gone with Forsberg, and only one of you have hit. So just
20%.
Just want to throw that out there.
When I'm pleading for a caller to take Luke Shen.
Yeah.
Somebody, I guess, right?
When I'm first callers, do not take Forsberg. Bad percentages.
Just letting you know. Just because you think he's an elite goal scorer doesn't mean he is in the Robbie and Rex Rhodes.
Jeez. Now he's calling out Forsberg.
Forsberg, okay. I like it.
Just saying.
Keep going.
My pick is going to be Luke Evangelista this evening. I think that the young guys are on notice, and I think that he gets on the board tonight against John Hines.
Wow. All right. Evangelista. So the selections, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, Evangelista. Preds Pick to Click presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Another John Hines game tonight. Joe Rexroad. This is one the Predators need to have. I said it yesterday on Preds Insider. So they've got Minnesota coming up tonight. You go back on the road, got a 3-game road trip coming up. I think they need to get 2 out of these next 3 if you're the Predators. They got Edmonton on Saturday, which – that is going to be a tall task with the way that Edmonton is playing right now, winners of 14 in a row.
They got to lose at some point.
Ottawa on Monday. So they do have to lose at some point. We'll see if the Predators can be responsible for that. By the way, it looks like Corey Perry might make his Edmonton Oilers debut against the Predators on Saturday. So
of course he will.
Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? But big one tonight for the Preds.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's and, you know, they've been struggling. A little payback, by the way, because last time, you know, it looked like a little Hines bump was coming, and so payback there, important game, and I'm with you. I think, you know, at least 3 of 6 points, you know, it's not disastrous on this trip, but I would say that'd be the minimum.
Joe, your final thoughts as we prepare for the introductory press conference of Brian Callahan coming up today. What do you think we're going to hear from Brian Callahan? What do you make of just the situation around the Titans right now with Rand Carthon and the promotion that he received yesterday as well?
Well, hopefully he'll tell us exactly how much the Titans are going to pay his dad to come be offensive line coach.
Yes. Andrew from, down to the cent.
Andrew from Dover asked me – he asked me an exact question to ask. He said – Will Levis shows a lot of leadership potential to do well in this league. How do you plan to bring out the best of him and help him become one of the elite quarterbacks in this league? This is what Andrew from Dover wants me to ask. I'm sorry, Andrew. My question is going to be, do you prefer Ranahan or Callahan? That is my question. It's a hot debate on
like
Twitter. Yeah, I do too. It works better than Vray Ran or whatever we were doing there. It flows much easier. I assume that was part of the hire of Brian
Randall?
Callahan. Yeah, exactly. But I think the offense, Levis, all these questions in all seriousness are a big part of this for sure. Obviously his thought on the play calling, why it has worked, what is there any trepidation, or, you know, is there still the unknown in his mind just in terms of him as a play caller? Is he calling plays? That's, by the way, that would be good to get that confirmation either way and calling plays. And again, I think the coaching staff question for him and for Rand Carthon is interesting. Is Rand just checks and balances, oversight of the coaching staff? What does that mean? Those are a few things that come to the top of the mind.
I can't wait to see how many times we hear the word collaboration take place today. It's going to be awesome. Looking forward to the word count on that. Joe, I'm taking off to Disney World, so I'll see you on Wednesday.
Heck yes. And by the way, we're getting Brian Callahan on the show tomorrow, so I want you and the fam to call in, and you guys can maybe Allison get a question for Brian Callahan. How about
that's
that?
That's right.
There we go.
Paul
Kuhar's
going to be in for me the next few days. That does it for us today on the program. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.